Hi there, this is Pastor Christeline here from Calvary City Church, and welcome to our sermon podcast. We pray as you listen to the word today, it encourages you, inspires you, and launches you into the destiny that God has for you. May you always be found in good health, and may everything that your hand touches prosper. Enjoy the sermon.
Good morning, Calvary City Church. It's so good to have all of you tuning in to our online celebration service. I hope all of you are doing well, and I'm sure that God's grace is so sufficient for you for such a time like this. And how many of you know that we serve a God that cares and loves for us? How many of you will believe and agree together with me that God understands whatever that is going through in our life and also in our nation? Today, before I will just get into the Word of God, I would like to just give a little update on what happened to me and to my wife about 2 weeks ago. The reason why I'm giving this update is because I see all of you as a family. Calvary City Church has always been a family to me, and that's the reason why I would like to share our story. About 2 weeks ago, me and my wife, we were promoted to be a parent. Rebecca was promoted to be a mother, and I was promoted to be a father. You can see it on the screen right now. Rebecca gave birth to a healthy baby boy named Isaiah Ari Sebastian. Just look at his hair. So adorable, so cute. And this is the first time where I get to hold him for the very first time. It was so emotional, because for the first time I get to hold my son, and it was such an awesome moment. And here he's, look how fast he's growing. So cute boy. Such a cute boy. Next one. Yeah, this face is like, I want more milk. Mommy, give me more milk kind of face. So cute. That's his little friend. We name him Simba. Simba is his little friend. And of course, my son is a Liverpool fan, and he will never walk alone. And look at him, his eyes, his hair, everything about him is so adorable. Look at the way how he sleeps. Like a boss, right? So, church, I would like to say thank you to all of you for standing together with me and Rebecca, for praying, encouraging, sending messages, calling me up on the phone, giving gifts to the house. I appreciate all of you. You guys are like a family to me and to Rebecca. And standing here today, I want to say thank you to Pastor Rajan and also to Pastor Betty for supporting us and guiding us all this while until today. And we believe that your guidance is going to come upon Isaiah as well. And we can't wait for Isaiah to come to church and, you know, meet all the aunties and uncles and friends. And we can't wait for Pastor Rajan to lift him up, carrying him, swing him around. He's a boy after all, and we can't wait for all that. So let us pray that this pandemic will come to an end, and we all can come together and worship together as one family. All right, that's a little update for me, myself, and from my wife Rebecca. Thank you so much. Let's get into the Word of God this morning. Today, what I'm going to be talking about is got to do with the very nature of God. What I'm going to be talking about this morning is got to do with the very character or the very being of who God is. What I'm going to be talking about will cause you to see that this is who this God is. This is the God that we worship. I'm going to be touching on the nature and the character and the very being of who God is. And how many of you know that the nature of God is that God is a good God? Come on, people of God. The very being of God, that He is good. If I will give a title to my sermon this morning, my title will be Divine Assurance, The Lord is Good. Let me just repeat that one more time. Divine Assurance that the Lord is good. The Lord is good seems to be a very common word. Common word, you know, pastors use it, leaders use it, the body of Christ, believers, Christians, we always use this word, the Lord is good. When you meet someone, you will say, God is good. And they will repeat back after you, they will say it all the time. All the time, God is good. From Sunday school to youths to young adults to seniors, we are all aware of this common word, God is good. Now, most of us, we are so common with these words, but most of us, we don't really understand comprehend the power of the goodness of God. We may say God is good just because we want to put an upfront as a Christian, but inside some of us, we are still fighting the fact that how can a good God allow suffering to come into my household? Come on, people of God. How can a good God allow pain and suffering? You go to people and people say, God is good, you will reply back all the time. But inside of you, you are actually fighting the battle. Not all the time, only sometimes God is good. And you don't say it out because you feel that if you say it out, and then people will think that you are less of a Christian. People will think that you got no faith. And therefore, as being Christian, we shut down this question. We try to push these things away. And we fight this battle alone. Today, my purpose is to bring you to an understanding of knowing that this Lord that we worship is really, really good. But what does it mean when I say the Lord is good? That's where we are going to go today, all right? If you have your Bible, I would like you to turn to the book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. Nahum is right after the book of Micah and before the book of Habakkuk. If you are in the Old New Testament, you have made a wrong turn. You need to make a U-turn. Come back to the Old Testament. The book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. And this is what the scripture said. The Lord is good. Ah, come on. The Lord. God is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust in Him. Let me repeat that one more time. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust in Him. Now here you can find three different things, three very different nature of who God is. The first one is the Lord is good. The second one is God is a stronghold in the day of trouble. The third one, the nature of God is that He knows those who trust in Him. Three different nature. If I'm going to be touching on all these three different character and the nature of God, it will take more than 1 hour or 2 hours. But today, I'm going to just be sticking on the first one, the Lord is good. Because when I say the Lord is good, it's more than anything else. When I say the Lord is good, it covers every areas in our life. And I want you to know that this verse is one of the beautiful words that I ever read in the Bible. I'm not saying other verses are not beautiful. Every single verse in the Bible, scriptures and portion of doctrines and all these things are beautiful. But when I read this, I begin to realize, oh, what a beautiful verse. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Come on, repeat after me. The Lord is good. Come on, all those who are watching right now in the living room, come on, through YouTube and Facebook, repeat after me. The Lord is good. If you're in the, you know, if you can, type it in the comment section. The Lord is good. Come on, if you're sitting beside somebody, if you're sitting beside your spouse, I want you to look right into their eyes and let them know that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Come on. Take your right hand and put it on your heart right now. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you this morning. Before we get into the points, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. God, things are not going the way it's supposed to go. Oh, the Lord is still good. God, I got pain. The Lord is still good. Oh God, I just lost my job. The Lord is still good. God, I feel alone. The Lord is still good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. What we just did right now was a declaration of who God is. And this is what exactly I will do. When things go wrong, when I feel alone, when I do not know where to go, where to run to, whom should I seek for, I will always tell myself, the Lord is good.
The Lord is good. Middle of the night when my son wakes up and he cries out of nowhere, I do not know what's happening to him because he can't speak to me. I can't, you know, he don't understand the thing I'm saying, and he'll be crying, and I will tell to myself, the Lord is good. I'll be lifting him up in my arms and I will say, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. When the moment I do that, you know what happens? Circumstances don't change. Situations may not change. But what changes was, there was a confidence inside of me begin to raise up, knowing that everything is in control because the Lord, my God, is good. If you will forget whatever I'm going to say for the next 30 minutes, it's okay, don't feel bad. But remember this word, that the Lord is good. Life is hard. Probably you're saying, Sebastian, why are you saying life is hard on a Sunday morning? See, what I'm trying to do is, I want to speak reality today. Is that okay? I want to be real. Is that okay? I want to be vulnerable today before you. Is that okay? Life is hard for some of us. But despite all this hardship, but the Lord is still good. No matter who we are, we all experience difficulties in life. Am I right? No matter who you are a pastor, you're a leader, you're a father, a mother, young boy, or a young girl, whatever it is, we all have difficulties in life. For some, it could be as simple as waking up in the morning and finding there's no more coffee powder. And then you say, life is hard. For some, it's more intense, that you wake up in the morning, you pick up your phone, and that's a WhatsApp message saying that one of your loved one has just gone away and gone to the Lord. Life is hard. For some of you, you wake up in the morning and suddenly you got back pain, you got knee pain, and then you wake up, you're also like, life is hard. The degree of challenges differs from person to person. Many across the world right now are going through the most toughest moment in life. Across the world right now, everyone is going through one of the most toughest moments in life. Some of us have lost our loved one due to COVID-19. Some of us have family members who are in the ICU, are in the coma, fighting for their life. I have friends in Kuala Lumpur, in Selangor, who have lost their loved ones because of COVID. I have friends who are, you know, telling me, you know, Sebastian, I don't know what to do. But my father, my uncle, my auntie are in the hospitals, in the ICU, fighting for their life because of COVID-19. This pandemic has caused a lot of hardship to the body of Christ and to the people around the world. Life is hard. I'm not trying to make you scared. I'm not trying to bring a negativity towards you. But what I'm trying to say here is for you to understand and to know that it's okay to go through hardship. It's okay. Come on, my friend. It's okay to go through hardship. That doesn't mean that God has forgotten about you. The Lord is still good. Now, the question is, how can we still know that the Lord is good? Despite all these things, why does a good God allow suffering? Why do I have problems and challenges? How can we still know that the Lord is good? When we say the Lord is good, does that mean life will always look good? When I say the Lord is good, okay, does that mean that every morning when I wake up, I'm going to hold hands with my spouse and we're going to sing Kumbaya because life is good? No. The only people who have no problems are the people who are sleeping in the tomb. No problems. As long as we are breathing, as long as we are alive, that's going to be hardship. There is going to be trouble. But how can we come to a point knowing all these things, yet we can declare and proclaim that the Lord is good? That's what we are going to do this morning. If we look at some of the stories and passages in the Bible, it's all about enduring. Am I right? If you look the story of Paul, if you look the story of the apostles, if you look the story of the disciples, even David, even in the Old Testament, Job, Jonah, Moses, you name it, all these men of God, it was a story of an enduring process. Even Jesus' story was an enduring one. Even Jesus' story was an enduring one. Today, if you are in the stage of enduring, if you are broken inside, let me just give you a promise from God. Psalms 34 verse 18, it says that the Lord is close to those who are brokenhearted. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Today, if you feel that you are broken inside, if you feel that life is hard, oh, I got a good news for you. The Lord is so close to the brokenhearted. Can you feel someone just put his hands around you right now? God is putting his arms around you and he's saying, my child, it's okay. I am good. I am good. I am good. I am good. You see, for some of us, when we go through challenges in life, when we go through problems in life, we will begin to start to doubt about God. How is God is still good? What is good then? You may be asking me, Sebastian, okay, you're talking about the goodness of God. You're saying life is hard. You're saying that we got problems, we got challenges and all these things. You're saying that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. What is good then? Listen very carefully. Good is what God approves. Good is what God approves. There is no higher standard of goodness than God's own character and his approval of whatever is consistent with that character. What does it mean? It means that whatever God approves, that is good. Everything that God approves is good, and good is what God approves. When the moment when God created the heaven and the earth in the beginning, God looked at it and said, this is good, this is perfect. Whatever that God does, whatever that God approves, whatever that God says, whatever that God does, whatever that God thinks of, whatever God desires of, whatever that God, you know, say or do is good. Whatever God approved is good. As I begin to study more on the goodness of God, I keep finding a common theme. As I begin to dwell on this goodness of God, this was just happened about a week ago when Isaiah came. God was just speaking to me about saying that, my son, I'm good. My son, I'm good. I didn't know that this would actually lead to my sermon. I didn't know. Yesterday I was also praying and preparing, and the Lord was like, tell it to the body of Christ that I am good. Encourage the body of Christ that I am good. As I keep finding a common theme, God's goodness is not necessary about what we think the goodness of God is. Instead, God's goodness starts with Him and what He thinks good is. Let me just repeat one more time. God's goodness is not necessary about what we think good is. Instead, God's goodness starts with Him and what He thinks. What does it mean? It means that God knows the best. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8 to 9. Isaiah 55 verse 8 to 9. Very, very powerful scripture. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Whose thoughts? God's thoughts, alright? For God's thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Verse 9, please. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What God is trying to say is that my ways, my plan, you know, the things that I have for you is far more higher than what you could ever imagine of. What the Lord is saying, your plans are not my plans. Your ways are not my ways. My plans are my way, and my ways are higher than your ways and your plans. God knows the best. At times, sometimes we don't really understand what God's doing. But can we come to a point knowing that God is in control? You see, about last year, December, when I lost my dad, we as a family, we still came together. Some of you who came to the funeral, you will know. We sang with our lungs out. We keep singing that the Lord is good. How possible is that, Sebastian? You have just lost someone that you love so much, and you can still say God is good. Why? The reason we can say that, because we understand that the plan of God is perfect. I may not understand it. I may feel pain inside. I may miss my father a lot. But I know the Lord has a better plan for my father, a better plan for me and my household. The Lord knows best because He is good. Can you surrender all your thoughts and your ways to God because He is good? Oh, Sebastian, you don't understand. I've just lost my job. Oh, Sebastian, you don't understand. I don't even have enough money to put food on the table. Sebastian, you don't understand. My relationship is breaking apart. You don't understand. My family is breaking apart. You don't understand that we are going through depression, loneliness, and rejection. My friend, I may not understand you, it's true, but I want you to know that God's ways, God's plans are perfect for you. He's perfect for you. But this seems so difficult, Pastor Sebas.
Well, this is when the next step comes in. We got to learn to trust Him. Turn to your neighbor and say, let's trust Him. Wait. Trust God. It's so easy to say it, you know, especially being a pastor. When someone tells you a story, what they were going through, and we tell them, hey, trust God. Someone sends you a very, very long text, and you just reply them, trust God. It's easy to say it, but when I'm going through problems sometimes, I find it very, very difficult to trust God. Hey, hello. Am I saying something that is real? Most Christians, we put up an upfront, oh, everything is perfect. But inside is, God, I can't trust you. It's difficult, God. Of course, I have no known of what the future holds for you. You may lose your job. You may lose someone you love. You may lose your dreams. You may lose your purpose. I don't know. You may lose your house. You may lose your car. All losses are painful. Hey. All losses are painful. The heart is painful. And then you will stumble upon the verses in the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Oh, okay, wait a minute. You may say, hey, Pastor Sebas, wait a minute. I know this verse very well. I can see it without looking at the screen. You may see it. Every time any pastors come up the stage, you know, Sunday school children also know this scripture very well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The next one is powerful. The next one says, acknowledge Him. Verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. Trust the Lord your God with all your heart. Second, acknowledge Him in all your ways. With all your heart. Come on, repeat after me. With all your heart. The second thing, repeat after me. With all your ways. You may ask, how can I trust God? You need to trust God with all your heart. And you need to acknowledge God in all your ways. All your ways. In my ups. I'm not so sure if the camera can take me. In my downs. In all my ways, I have to trust the Lord. Because when I trust the Lord, then I will know that He is good. Sorry, Athens. All my ways, in my ups and in my downs. But for some reason, most of us, including myself, we tend to fail this test. I will tell you why. I will give you three things and then we are done. I'll tell you why that some of us fail this test in trusting God. Number one is because we don't recognize the voice of our Father. We fail to trust God. We fail to understand the goodness of God. It's because we fail to recognize the voice of our Father. John chapter 10 verse 27, he says, John 10 27, my sheep knows my voice. Ah, my sheep hears my voice and I know them and they will follow me. What a trust.
If today, if you want to develop your trust in God, you need to come to a point in recognizing the voice of the Father. I still remember the very first day when the nurses pushed Isaiah to the room where me and my wife was waiting. We saw him, very cute little boy. He was sleeping and they pushed him and we saw him. And after about 5 to 10 minutes, he started to weep. He started to cry. And the nurse have left us. And we didn't know what to do. We are just a new parent. This is the first time seeing a baby that is so small. What do we do? And immediately I lifting up and I began to sing a song with all my off keys. You ask my friends will know me well. They will know that Sebastian is a guy who can't sing in keys. After many years in church, some of you will know I will still sing and I will still scream in my lungs out. No matter the person beside me laughs at me or not, I will still sing praises to God because He is good. And the moment I lift up Isaiah, I begin to sing a familiar song to Him. And this song that we will always sing to Him when He was in the mother's womb. When he was in Rebecca's womb, every time I will go to the womb, I will put my hands and I will begin to sing this song. Very simple Sunday school song. Jesus loves me, this I know. You know this song? For the Bible tells me so. Little one, to Him belong. We are weak, but He is strong. I'm just going to get Jared to just sing us this song.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little one, to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. And yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. And yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so.
As I began to sing that song to Isaiah with all my off keys, even now you have already discovered I can't sing, that I have to give the mic to Jared to sing. And you know what happened? He just began to smile for the very first time. And immediately the crying stopped. A newborn baby couldn't open his eyes yet. Those of you parents, you know. They find it struggle. Even if they open, they can't see anything yet. He can't see me. He doesn't know how I look like. He doesn't know that I'm his dad yet. But he recognized that voice. He recognizes the voice of his father. He can't see, but he can recognize. And immediately there was a sense of comfort and security came upon him. And he began to smile and he began to stop crying. He began to trust that voice. Because why? He was familiar with that voice. My friend, as you recognize the voice of God, the comfort of God will come upon you. Ah, the comfort of God will come upon you. Circumstances may not change. Things will still go the way it's going. The pandemic is still there. COVID-19 is still there. But there's a sense of security. There's a sense of assurance, a divine assurance. God, I recognize your voice. Your voice is more than enough. Lord, your voice is more than enough. Today, if you can come to a place in recognizing the voice of the Father, you will build an attitude of trusting God, and that will lead you in understanding the goodness of God. Many of us, we don't recognize the voice of our Father because we entertain the voices that's around the world. noises in the world, our friends' voice, our neighbor's voice, all these voices, Google and internet and news voices, that's what those voices that we are familiar with, but we are not familiar with the Father's voice. Can we come to a place, shut all those voices and say, God, I want to recognize my voice, because the Bible said, my sheep recognizes my voice, and a shepherd protects his sheep. Second thing that we fail to trust God is because we feel distance from God. 5 more minutes, then we are done. We feel that we are distance from God. We are distant from God, and that's the reason why most of us, we fail to trust God. I don't want you to feel guilty about that, because there was a guy in the Bible who felt just like you. His name is Job, J-O-B, Job. He felt what you and I are feeling. He felt that God was so far away from him. Do you know what happened to him? Everything was taken away. He had boils on his body. Livestock has been taken away. Even his friends, his close one, will come to him and say, hey, why don't you just curse your God and die? You know what Job did? You know what Job did? Let's look at the book of Job 13 verse 15. Job 13 verse 15. This is what he said. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Oh God, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. Here, Job, after going through a lot of problems, a lot of pain and suffering, and he is saying, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Though you have lost your job, you will still trust in him. Though I have pain in my body, I will still trust in him. See, when the moment you do that, you know what happens? You are saying, God, whether you bless me or you don't bless me, whether you do it or you don't do it, God, I will still worship you, because you are a good God. God, whatever you approve is good, and therefore, Father, whether I like it and I don't like it, whether I feel it or I don't feel it, I will still declare and proclaim and say, God, you are good, because you are God. Listen this carefully. God is good not just because he has healed you. God is good not because he has protected you. God is good not just because he has blessed you with a sum of money. God is good because he is God, full stop. If you will have this thing in your mind, if this is planted in your mind, my friends, let me tell you something. There will be a sense of maturity inside of you. There will be a sense of maturity as you will grow as a mature Christian, and you will say, no matter what struck me, the arrows may come left and right, but I will stand strong and I will still declare the Lord is good. The devil will laugh at you. Hey, how can you still say the Lord is good? But you will tell him, hey, you shut up and you sit down there. My Lord is still good because he is God. Full stop. When you have that, then there will have no any other factors that will cause you to think that the Lord is good. The only factor that will cause you to think the Lord is good, because he is God. The third one. The third reason why we fail to trust God is because we have cultivated a bad habit, the bad habit of worry. We have cultivated the bad habit of worry. We are better at worrying than trusting God. Most of us, we are better at worrying than trusting God. When something happens, you know, we humans, you know what happened to us? We start to worry day and night. We worry, worry, and worry. Our worry list will outrun our prayer list at times. Our worry list will outrun the promise of God. Today, if I give you a pen and a paper, your worry list will be up to 100 probably. Worry of tomorrow. Worry what's going to happen next. You might find it difficult to conquer your worries. Let me just be frank here. You might find it very difficult to conquer your worries, but you can get through it by trusting God. It might be difficult to conquer your worries, because worries will come every single day, but you can get through it by trusting God. God is good. The fourth one why we fail to trust God is because at times we see God as a vending machine. Do you know what a vending machine is? A vending machine is where you drop a coin or a $1 note, a few dollars note, and you choose the number, or you just click that, you just take whatever you want. Let's say you want a Coke. You put 2 ringgit, you press the button, and the Coke comes. What if you put the money and the Coke doesn't come? How many of you have tried that before? You put money into the vending machine, you press the Coke, and the Coke doesn't come. What do? You will kick that vending machine, right? You will begin to curse that vending machine. Hey, this is not a good vending machine. Stupid, this vending machine. Take my money, but never give me what I want. And then you will tell all the people, hey, don't trust this vending machine. Don't trust this vending machine. This vending machine just suck your money, but will not give you what you want. That's how we treat God at times. Like a vending machine. God, I'm dropping a few dollars in the offering bags. I'm giving you tithes every single month. So I'm going to pray for something. And this thing has to come to pass. And when those things don't come to pass, what happens? You begin to get upset with God. God, you're not good, God. And then you go around telling people, hey, you know what? God is not good. The reason why we can't develop a trust with God is because we have treated God as a vending machine. We have treated God like a genie in the bottle. We have treated God like a magician. Whenever you want something, you go to Him. My friend, don't treat God like a vending machine, but treat God as your Father. This God loves us so much. You have the man of the house, the leader of the house right now. I want you to go and get your communion ready. We're going to take communion soon. But let me just end with this. The Lord loves you so much. My friend, He is good all the time. Even when you don't see it or see it, He is still good. Even when you lose your loved one, He is still good. When you know that, when you understand that, your approach towards life, your perspective towards life will be different. That's the reason why a lot of people are turning away from God, is because they see God as a vending machine, as a genie. When I pray, God don't answer me, I walk away from God. Today, in the American, in the USA, in America, and also throughout the world, there's a lot of people becoming an atheist. The reason why they become atheists is not because they don't believe in God. It's not. If you really talk to them, they believe the existence of God. How can you not believe something that already exists, right? You have to not believe something that you need to not believe on it is because it's already existed. The reason why there is atheists, because they believe the existence of God. The reason why they became atheists, the reason why they hate God and they think that they don't believe in God, it's because there's certain things happens in their life that cause them to walk away from God. There's one of them that I know of who is not here. He was so upset with God because he was praying for his uncle for years and years, and the uncle one day passed away and gone to be with the Lord. And immediately he became an atheist, because you know why? In his mind is, the way he view God is good, which means God is gonna do whatever I ask Him to do. God is not your dog. Sorry. God is God. He's supreme. Whatever He does is best. Today, if you're watching here right now, if you find it difficult to trust God, I want you to know whatever He does is perfect. Come on, stand up to your feet right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. He is good because He is God. He is good because He has sent His Son Jesus to die for us on the cross. If one thing that you can be thankful for this morning, be thankful for His Son, Jesus Christ. Holding the bread and the cup in your hands. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 23 onwards, the night before Jesus was betrayed, He took bread in His hand and looked up to heaven And he broke it and gave thanks to the Father. And after doing that, he told his disciple, "This is my broken body for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Church, as you partake of this broken body of Jesus, I want you to remember the goodness of God. Come on, before you take, I want you to say, "God, you are good. God, you are good." Come on, say it, say it, say it. God, you are good. Let's take. In the same manner, Jesus took the cup and told his disciple, "This is a new covenant." The new covenant. Do you know what the new covenant means? A new covenant means restoration of fellowship, relationship between you and the Father. A new covenant talks about redemption of sin. New covenant talks about forgiveness of sin. Just because of that, we can say God is so good. Let's partake of this cup together as one family. Put out your cup together, all of you. That's right. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your glory. I thank you, God, that you are wanting to encourage the body of Christ, knowing that you are good. Help us to come to the place in trusting you. Help us to develop an attitude of trusting you so that we can understand that you are good, Father. Despite the challenges, despite whatever that's going on in our life, we will still say you are a good God. And whatever you approve is good. Whatever you say is good. Whatever you do is good, God. Whatever you think of is good. And help us to see it that way. Change our approaches, Lord. Change the way how we perceive life, Father. Change, Lord. God, as you change how we see life, Father, whatever comes in our way, Lord, despite the pandemic, despite COVID-19, despite our challenges, we will still stand strong because knowing, God, that you have overcome the world. You say, cheer up, that you have overcome the world, God. Help us to cheer up, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen. Thank you, church. For those of you who need some sort of prayer, if you're struggling to know that the Lord is good, you can scan the QR code, the healing prayer room, and there'll be pastors who are wanting to pray for you and to release a word for you. Let me just tell you something. Through the healing prayer room, we have seen cancer being disappear. We have seen people give their life to Jesus. We have seen countless miracles taking place. So scan the QR code. There'll be pastors praying for you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Have a good day. Blessed Sunday. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to today's sermon. We trust that you have been blessed. For more sermons like this, do log on to our church website at www.calvary.com.my. Have an amazing week ahead, and may the abundance of the Lord fill you this week.